It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The reaction out here on the street when people first heard the charge of murder, there was some surprise, even some applause. But then when they heard the new details released today, that one of the officers kicked Brooks's body when he was dying on the ground, the other officer stood on his shoulders, that applause turned to anger and disgust.
We have concluded that Mr. Brooks was running away at the time that the shot was fired.
Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard Jr. charged the police officer who shot and killed Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta on June 12th with felony murder, as well as 10 other charges.
The demeanor of the officers immediately after the shooting did not reflect any fear or danger of Mr. Brooks.
Put your hands behind your
back. Brooks fell asleep in his car in a Wendy's drive-thru lane on Friday night. After 20 minutes of calm conversation, Brooks agreed to take a sobriety test, which he failed. When the two officers attempted to handcuff him, he began to struggle, seizing one of the officer's tasers and fleeing. At one point, he turned to fire the taser. Former officer Garrett Rolfe, who was terminated after the incident, fired 3 shots, hitting Brooks twice in the back.
We have also concluded that Rolfe was aware that the taser in Brooks's possession, that it was fired twice. And once it's fired twice, it presented no danger to him or to any other persons.
Brooks's family and their attorney responded.
It's not a day of joy watching the charges and what's going to happen to this officer, because it shouldn't happen. So it's heartbreaking, but it is an attempt to redefine justice.
Rolfe could face a penalty of life in prison or even the death penalty. He had previously received a written reprimand for the use of force with a weapon. The second officer, Devin Brosnan, is also charged with aggravated assault and has agreed to be a state witness.
All right, that was Steve Kerrigan on Fox News last night. Sandy Rios, there was a lot of bad information in that report, and I want to set the record straight as best I can from all I'm reading this morning and all that I've found out. And let me just say that the Atlanta police officer could be facing the death penalty. I'm shocked about that. This is just unbelievable. Also, the DA, Paul Howard, said that the other policeman is willing to turn state's evidence or witness against his fellow police officer, while the police officer's attorney is saying that's not true. And as we follow the things that D.A. Howard said in that press conference, just there are so many lies. It's unbelievable. In fact, I'm gonna illustrate that to you because I think you need to know. He said that, first of all, that you heard Steve Kerrigan report that that Rayshard was kicked in the head. And I want you to hear what the attorney for Rolfe, how he responded to that. Lance LaRusso was with on Fox last night. And so let's just listen. This is clip 15. Let's listen to what he has to say about that.
The DA broke this down and said, look here, we enhanced the video. They're 12 feet apart. Look here, you know, Officer Rolfe was leaning against a car. Well, he's leaning against a car because he's afraid he's going to get killed. And the officer's mind, brain, and ability to see does not have the ability to enhance video. He's seeing all of this happening very quickly. He's reacting to what's happening quickly. And I'm kind of getting tired of people saying that Mr. Brooks was running away. Mr. Brooks was not running away. Mr. Brooks turned and offered extreme violence towards a uniformed law enforcement officer. If he was able to deploy the taser, it would incapacitate Officer Rolfe through his body armor. And at that point, if he decided to disarm another officer, he would be in possession of a firearm. My client never kicked Mr. Brooks. If there was a video of my client kicking Mr. Brooks, you would have seen it. He shows a still and then one leg is planted and the other one's bent. He could be leaning down to try to give him first aid. It could have been when he was trying to evaluate whether he needed handcuffs. And this officer gave him CPR, monitored his pulse prior to that, talked to him to try to keep him breathing, and called for EMS and coordinated other efforts on the scene. You know, and the other thing the DA said was that he's never seen another officer agree to testify against a bad officer. My client testified against an Atlanta police officer in the grand jury when that officer had done something wrong. So this is an officer who's known to the law enforcement community. He's known to the DA's office, and he was actually cleared of another use of force, and he testified on behalf of the DA to prosecute a bad officer.
So that was Lance LaRusso. He's representing Garrett Rolfe, who has now been charged with murder and could actually get the death penalty. He's being charged by this DA named Paul Howard, who doesn't seem to be able to tell the truth. I'm just telling you, that's not the only thing he said. Look, I've watched almost all the videos. I'm sure there's some I haven't seen, but I've seen a lot of them. There was never a video showing him kicking Rashad Brooks. And then also D.A. Howard says that, I'll just tell you how he describes the setup here. Let's listen, clip 10.
Mr. Brooks, on the night of this incident, was calm. He was cordial and really displayed a cooperative nature. We concluded and considered it as one of our important considerations that Mr. Brooks never presented himself as a threat.
Yeah, well, that's not true. I mean, if you want, any of you can watch the video. This is not like a mystery. Yeah, for the first 20 minutes, the police and Mr. Brooks were very polite to each other. That's true. But when they told him he'd failed the test, the breathing test, the walking test on intoxication, that's when he became violent. They said, we have to take you in. Well, you know that people who are drunk cannot drive. It's our law. It's the law. In fact, some states have gone overboard on this, but it is still the law that if you are intoxicated, the police cannot let you go to drive home and then you kill someone. They can't do that. And so they said they were going to have to take him in. That's when he started fighting them. And he was not cooperative and calm. He was fighting them full on. He hit one of the policemen in the face. He fought and he fought. In fact, he fought so much that he took the taser and started running. And he didn't just turn around to fire the taser. He did fire the taser. All right. So now D.A. Howard says in regard to the taser that that's not a lethal weapon. That's not a deadly weapon. In fact, let's hear him say that. That's clip 11.
Officer Roth at this point was firing a taser. And this is Mr. Brooks, who was firing a taser as well. But I don't know if you can see it clearly. The prongs from the table, the taser, were actually fired above Officer Roth's head.
Okay, so he does say in that, too, that a taser's not a deadly weapon. And besides, it was fired above the officer's head. So somehow, that means it's not so bad to fire at the officer. And what Lance LaRusso, the attorney, explains, or one other policeman that I heard, is that, yeah, that means he was aiming for the head. And that would have been disastrous. You taser people in the face. And so, the officer would have been incapacitated for I forgot exactly, another guy talks about that, and I'll play his clip in just a second, but he would have rendered him incapacitated. He had his weapons on. You can't do that to a policeman. That's not like calm response to a policeman trying to arrest you. And so, and just to show the hypocrisy of the district attorney, Howard, just 2 weeks ago, he fired four police officers for supposedly overpowering these college kids. Remember the tape was edited? Remember we talked about that? Because they used a taser. But this is what D.A. Howard said in that instance. This is clip 12.
As many of you all know, under Georgia law, a taser is considered as a deadly weapon under Georgia law.
Yeah, but it wasn't a deadly weapon, according to him, when he charged Garrett Rolfe with murder. It wasn't a deadly weapon, but 2 weeks ago it was a deadly weapon when he meant he could get some cops trying to stop these college students who were not so innocent. We just had an edited version of the clip. It's just amazing. I think D.A. Howard is a total liar. My understanding is he's up for election, And the other part of this is that there was no grand jury. No group heard, impaneled group heard the evidence and brought these charges. This came out of D.A. Howard's office, out of his own mind, it sounds like to me. And this is travesty. In fact, if you don't agree it's a travesty, I would like for you to hear Sheriff Alfonso Williams of Burke County, Georgia, weighing in on this, clip six.
Having 30 years in the business, police and law enforcement, and 27 of those years having taught use of force and taught hundreds and hundreds of law enforcement officers across the state of Georgia and other states, I just think that he's a lawyer. He's not a law enforcement officer. I think that is just a ridiculous statement. Obviously, we saw in the video that Brooks was engaged in a fight with the officers. They were on the ground. We know that when we're on the ground, we have a very high likelihood of being hurt or killed. It's not the place we want to be. This is not a wrestling match. Brooks is able to take a non-lethal weapon, a taser, away from one of the officers, and he flees. They give chase. He's committed to felony obstruction of an officer counts, and he needs to be held accountable. So they are perfectly justified in running behind Brooks to capture him. Brooks turned back to the officers and fired the taser. And we all know, this is the third law enforcement agency I've been head of, and in every agency I've gone to, I've required every officer who carries a taser to be tased with it so that you understand the incapacitation. 5 seconds, 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005. That's 5 whole seconds that if an officer is hit with that taser, that all of his muscles will be locked up and he'll have the inability to move and to respond. And yet he is still responsible for every weapon on his belt. So if that officer had been hit, he still has a firearm on his side, and the likelihood of him being stomped in the head or having his firearm taken and used against him was a probability. And so he did what he needed to do, and this was a completely justified shooting.
All right, that was Sheriff Alfonso Williams. And now I have to tell you, because this is important, of course we have to talk about people's races. He's black. He's a black sheriff. I'd say he's a very good sheriff. I'd say he's an honest man. I say I don't care about his color. And I'd say that this DA, who happens to be black, is a liar. And this is a really sad thing when this police officer has to have his life placed in the hands of a man who has an agenda. It's horrific to me. And as a result of that, you can imagine that Atlanta police officers are reeling from this, because they put their lives on the line every single day, especially right now. In fact, I just got an inside tweet said that the Atlanta police just walked off of the job in zone 6, 7, and 3. They're turning in their keys and they're quitting. Now, the Atlanta police is claiming that large numbers of officers have walked off are false, but that's an inside information that I am giving to you. I don't know how many, but it looks like they're calling out. They're just not showing up. And can you blame them? Can you blame them? And what do you think is going to happen if there are no police patrolling the streets or doing their jobs in Atlanta, in Minneapolis, in Seattle? Well, we know in Seattle, don't we? We've seen it firsthand. By the way, we have a long now dossier on Rashad Brooks's criminal record. Daniel Horowitz went into this at great length, and he's got quite the record. He's done violent crimes with weapons. He's not like a choir boy. And one of the things he was charged with was child abuse. They keep showing a picture of him with his baby, after the baby's born. Very sweet. But it's on record that he's been charged with child abuse. And so it's not what they're saying. Of course it isn't, you know. They're not telling us the truth, and neither is Fox on this, except for Laura Ingraham and some of the other hosts. So just be careful what you listen to. All right, we have to take a break, but there's so much more news. We're also going to open the phone line, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here are Tim and Riley Wildman for the AFA Foundation.
Riley, what is your title?
The director of AFA Foundation.
One of the best ways you can have income for the rest of your life and know that you will be supporting the ministry of American Family Association is to...
to give a gift to American Family Association and American Family Radio.
Do you also deal with people who want to leave AFA in their wills?
Yes, sir. That's exactly why they call. And that's why we also have another option besides a charitable gift annuity. People sometimes also call and do an outright gift or also leave us in their will.
Now, when anyone calls in and asks to talk to you ladies, will all of them talk in a Southern accent like you do?
Yes, they will.
Call Riley Wildman at the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Mark Schultz, Acting Assistant Secretary for the Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services. His office supports states in providing vocational rehabilitation services to individuals with disabilities. Philippians 2:4 reminds us of the importance of helping others. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Mark Schultz as he works on behalf of people with disabilities. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. There's a church in Tennessee that prides itself on being multi-ethnic. I've decided not to name the congregation because I suspect what's happening there is happening in other church houses across the nation. The pastor shared an essay, 75 Things White People Can Do for Racial Justice. Equality includes you. Item 72 on the list said the following: for people you know who've been radicalized by Fox News and other nationalist media, who've been so pummeled with fear and hatred of the other that they become ISIS-like towards others, how can you and other family and friends guide them through the conversation to show them their actions are now in direct contrast with the values they feign to purport? So let's just cut to the chase. The pastor is basically telling the congregation, if you watch Fox News Channel, you're a fake Christian who has more in common with the Islamic radicals who flew jetliners into the buildings on 9/11. That doesn't sound very Christ-like to me. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Just look at what Google tried to do just yesterday, where they tried to deplatform a conservative news site, The Federalist. They tried to deny The Federalist access to Google's web platform, their ad platform, which would have essentially shut them down. This is the kind of thing that big tech is doing all the time. Twitter, you know, commenting on, labeling the tweets of the President of the United States. It just gets worse and worse.
It's becoming more and more insidious, the way that these platforms use their power, and that's why it's important to have legislation that will give folks their day in court.
Senator Josh Hawley talking about, you know, yesterday Google tried to deplatform The Federalist and also a Zero Hedge because of the comments on their articles, not because of the articles, and it was, allegedly racist things. Of course, of course, of course, all things are racist these days. Everything we say is racist. And so, but they're not the only ones. Google is the big dog, and they are capable of canceling any of us at any time. So they have been doing that stealthily while protesting. Oh, no, 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 we're not doing that. We're not trying to control what you see. We know that that's a lie. We know that they have changed their algorithms so that they control very much what you can see. And if you type in certain words or names, you will get a long list of New York Times references, Washington Post, Politico, but you will not get, you know, conservative sources. You just won't. So the deal is in, the fix is in, And as if that weren't bad enough. And by the way, tomorrow we're going to be talking about tech censorship for the whole show. So I hope you'll tune in. But if that isn't enough, we've got now Black Lives Matter is into defunding and destroying various media outlets. And they've pointed out several of them. I think there's more. There are more than the ones I'm going to tell you. But these are the ones listed in the top of this article. American Greatness, American Thinker, Big League Politics, Zero Hedge, WorldNet Daily, WND, The Washington Standard, and Breitbart's on here, I know. Let's see, Breitbart, and I'm not sure what the other is. Gateway Pundit, and I use most of those, almost 100% of those I use as references. But Black Lives Matter doesn't like them because they're racist, of course, naturally. Of course they're racist. That's the death knell for everyone. Everyone is a racist, you see. How could Black Lives Matter do that, you ask yourself? Well, they might be able to do it because the Ford Foundation just gave them $250 million. That's, of course, just one outlet. There are several wealthy donors, Hollywood types, pouring money into Black Lives Matter. And as I told you, Black Lives Matter, we talked a great deal about it yesterday. If you missed yesterday's show, you'll want to go back and listen to the podcast. We talked to Stella Morabito, who's written about the manipulations of the international terrorist organization known as Black Lives Matter, whose goal is, you know, not really helping black people, certainly not black policemen, certainly not black people whose livelihoods and businesses have been destroyed, who've been beaten themselves because they're the wrong kind of black people. They don't care about black people. You've seen black people, protesters after the killing of George Floyd, out in the street saying to these very white anarchists who affiliate with Black Lives Matter, you're taking over our cause. This has nothing. You're taking over. This is not what we're doing. You don't care about us. You're doing this stuff, and now they're going to blame it on us. I played those clips for you, remember? So they're not so concerned. Actually, please do read their manifesto. I think you'll find it interesting. Black Lives Matter wants to, let's see, what do they want to do? They want to mess things up. They want to destroy the country. They want to, everywhere, actually, all over the world, they want to cause chaos. Because they want, Marxism, communism to be inserted. And they also are really keen on lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual priorities. In fact, as I've told you, the three founders, as I understand it, they're women, they are either lesbians or transgender. So they have a great emphasis in their mission statement on, you know, all things LGBT and transgender. They want to deconstruct, destroy the natural family. They say that very clearly. They want to go to a cooperative effort where everybody has their children taken care of at, you know, these centers. God, you know what? That reminds me of the Soviet Union. How strange, because that's what they did too. That's what Marxists of old, according to the Frankfurt School, love. They want to get rid of the natural family, husband, wife, children. That's one of the main goals of Black Lives Matter. They also hate capitalism. They want to destroy businesses, so they don't care if they're black businesses. But the whole slogan, Black Lives Matter, is a very convenient slogan because, you know what? Black lives do matter. So who can say that black lives don't matter? So what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is separate our black friends and neighbors and family, and our black friends and neighbors and family have to deconstruct themselves from that organization. They have to not associate. Black Lives Matter is not about black lives. It's about other things. I told you this, what the Southern Poverty Law Center does. They deceive people by their name. They deceive people by their history, their ancient history, where they actually cared about civil rights in the South. That's not what they're about now. If you look at what they're actually doing, they're actually about advancing homosexual, transgender rights because one of their founders is very gay. That's what they care about. And the other part is they want to advance Islam. Yes, you know, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. That's the truth. It's a bait and switch, and you just have to get that in your heads. Yesterday, we posted some great articles, and they're still there, and I hope that you will go. Please go, and please read them because they'll help you, and you can pass them on. As a matter of fact, I got an email from Lori. She said, my pastor wants to get our church behind the Black Lives Matter movement. by attending local rallies. He says that the Black Lives Matter organization is separate and very different from the Black Lives Matter movement. Do you agree that you can separate the two? No, I don't. I think your pastor and many others across the nation are out of their collective minds. They are ignorant about this because they don't operate in the world, certainly where I operate, so they don't have to know what I know, but they should listen. They don't know what they're doing. They have no idea. What he's probably thinking is that Black community members are concerned about the killing of George Floyd, and he wants to show solidarity with him. He wants to show that they are concerned. I understand that, but do not affiliate with Black Lives Matter. Are you kidding me? They will swallow you up, spit you out, and destroy you, Pastor, because they know what they're doing. They are manipulative. They are well-trained. This is a dangerous operation, so don't do that. You could show love to your community, your Black friends and neighbors, without getting affiliated with Black Lives Matter. And that goes for all of you that are Black, too. Surely there must be another way to disassociate from this wicked, horrendous, violent group and state your cause. And the other part of this to the pastor, Lori, your pastor needs to support the police. For heaven's sake, this is a race-neutral problem. I recognize that a lot of our Black friends have been given bad information. Because the stats, the plain stats, even go to the Washington Post, for heaven's sake, which is a liberal rag, I would say, reports the stats that it's not true that Black men are killed disproportionately by white policemen. It's just not true. There are many more white men who are shot at the hand, criminals, we'll just say criminals, shot at the hands of policemen than Black criminals. Or would-be criminals, or maybe unconvicted criminals. But that's just not true. And, of course, our police departments are filled with men of all colors. In fact, in the George Floyd incidents, you know, one of the policemen was the one that actually, I think, did kill George Floyd, was white. And remember that I told you we think now they had a personal dispute. And that this may, I don't know. They'll do in a court of law. I don't know. This might not have had anything to do with the race. It might have had to do with of dispute over money and the bills that George was passing, and something was happening in that club regarding these fake bills. Now I haven't got that confirmed, but I'm just telling you it's possible that might not even had something to do with race. One of the other officers was Black and one was Asian. So I just be reasonable, be smart about this, and understand that wickedness, criminality, has nothing to do with color. It's man's heart that is wicked and deceitful. And Black men had wicked, deceitful hearts the same as white men do. And so, I mean, this is why we need a Savior. This is why God sent His Son, because of the violence men did on the earth. Remember that before the flood? Okay, so no, tell your pastor he's way off base and share that information with him. In fact, someone said, she asked me, I think, no, that's, somebody asked me, I can't find the email right offhand. Someone asked me if I could give some information written by an evangelical about Black Lives Matter. And I just wanted to say, first of all, please, could I give you another way to think of things? Not everything that so-called evangelicals write right now is trustworthy. Christianity Today is not trustworthy. And many other outlets are not trustworthy. Many pastors are not trustworthy. Many denominations are not trustworthy. And so remember that all truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth. And so there are really honest people writing about this, even if they don't attach themselves to a so-called evangelical church or affiliation. You have to learn to assess a person's truth. Now, in the case of Stella, who wrote that great piece, Stella is a Christian. She's a strong Christian. She's a personal friend of mine. So you can safely, if you think that's the rule of thumb here, he has to be an evangelical, you can safely pass Stella's article on because she is, by your definition, a Christian. But I'm just telling you, don't think in that box because it's a dangerous box to be in right now. We are in a time where there isn't a lot we can trust. And so you have to really think. You got to think. Maybe for the first time in your life, you have to discern more than you have ever discerned because there is no real safe little place. Not everything is black and white, as we would say, in every way. So I'm just sharing that with you. Okay, so I would like to open the phone lines, and we could talk about anything you want to talk about. There's a lot more news than this incident in Atlanta, but our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I want to also remind you that Friday night, Saturday night, is a rally for President Trump in Tulsa, and I told you yesterday that we know that it could be very let's just say descending on Tulsa are like 12 busloads of crisis actors hired out of Austin, Texas, and Los Angeles. I wonder, you know, if there's any trouble, and that is a federal offense if you cross state lines to cause trouble. They're not advertising they're going to cause trouble. Oh, of course not. They're asking for actors, minority actors and actresses. So there's nothing wrong with protesting there, but how would we ever think in a million years that they would, who's ever putting money behind this? How do you suppose they're paying for those 12 buses? You think those guys out on the street are able to, you know, like fork over write checks? Oh, no, I think it's probably Ford Foundation and all the Hollywood types and all the millions of dollars I've told you have been poured into this. And so we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Tulsa. If any of you are from that area, it'd be great to hear from you, what you're seeing on the ground there as we get ready for Saturday night. There, over a million people have signed up to go. And I think the facility only holds, I believe, 20,000. And the protesters are planning on being right across the street. So it's going to be real interesting. And God bless each and every one of you who are going to go and, you know, take your courage and go. I would take my courage and go. I'm just telling you, I would do that. My husband and I both would do that in a heartbeat. There is a Vermont principal who's put on leave, who's been put on leave for not agreeing with Black Lives Matter. She said this terrible, awful, no good thing. She said, "I do not think people should be made to feel they have to choose black race over human race. While I understand the urgency to feel compelled to advocate for black lives, what about our fellow law enforcement? What about all others who advocate for and demand equality for all, equity for all? Just because I don't walk around with a BLM sign should not mean I am a racist. And for that," she was put on leave, because that's a terrible, no good thing, you see. We are now into controlling speech, controlling thought. And if we let this organization and their sisters have their sway, you will lose all of your freedoms. And as I said before, you will not be safe just staying at home to yourselves. It will not happen that way. They will not be happy till every person has bowed the knee. And have we not read about this before in Scripture? Don't we know how this works? So now is the time to fight back and to speak up. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Okay, let's go to Gloria in Missouri. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning, Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. First, I want to thank you for educating us on Black Lives Matter. And I just want to say that I've sent a letter to the editor about Black Lives Matter, just trying to explain what you've told us. So that's just a sidebar.
Excellent, excellent.
I just wanted to ask about John Bolton. It seems like I don't want to say AFA, but just that John Bolton used to be a good guy. What happened to him, and why has he gone off the rails now going against the president like he is? Is there any explanation that you know?
Well, Gloria, as you may know, I've known him for a long time, and he used to be on my show a lot. I've known him since I was chairman of the North Korea Freedom Coalition in Washington. That's how we got acquainted. I had the greatest of respect for, at that time, Ambassador Bolton, and considered him a friend. I am deeply disappointed. For people that don't know, he's just written a tell-all book about his time in the White House. I just read a several-page synopsis of the book this morning. And from my perspective, he's telling things he should not. They're more gossipy. I'm not saying everything because I haven't read the book. But it's unnecessary information, things that we don't know about how the president might feel about Mike Pence, about who said what about who. And it's very damning. It talks about foreign relations. It undermines our national security. And so the Justice Department is trying to stop John, but they've already leaked the book, so it's a little bit too late. About what I think is happening, Gloria, we have two alpha males. John Bolton was very insulted by what the president said about him publicly, and he's getting his pound of flesh. That's my explanation. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. When their mom passed, the Landau brothers of New Jersey had a garage sale to clear out their mom's house. But they decided to keep a few things, including mom's old creepy painting of a woman passed out in a chair and two men trying to revive her. Fast forward to their estate auction, and the brothers found themselves fielding bids from France and Germany for the painting. Turns out, it was a long-lost Rembrandt that ultimately sold for $1.1 million. A trained eye spots value where others don't.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
We have been in a combat zone, and the stresses on soldiers come out quickly. It's an absolute joy to have the soldiers come back to you and say, man, you don't know how much that helped. It's a huge mission field.
Exploring Missions. Listen Saturday evening at 6:30 Central and Sunday afternoon at 1 on American Family Radio.
This Sunday is Father's Day, and this weekend on Encouragement Live, we'll focus on the role of fathers in uncertain times. This is Don Hawkins. Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family join me to address the challenges and opportunities fathers face in these difficult times. Plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturday at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here. Neil Gorsuch betrayed the trust that President Trump placed in him and we placed in him. We vigorously supported his nomination to the Supreme Court because we had assurances that he would apply the Constitution as written and would not rewrite the Constitution from the bench. But this is exactly what he did. He changed the meaning of the word sex on the fly from male or female to whatever somebody thinks he is. In one giant leap of illogic, he abandoned biological science, the Constitution, the law, and even the dictionary to reach his tortured conclusion. The consequences of his activist opinion will be felt for decades. The one hope at this point is that the 29 governors whose states do not provide special protections for deviant sexuality will rise up and say, the justice has issued his opinion, now let him enforce it.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point. Weekday afternoons at 1:05 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Well, that hasn't taken long. The cumulative effect of physical attacks, abusive rhetoric, and official hostility towards police has started translating into vacuums of power on America's streets. In Atlanta, where the mayor says police morale is down tenfold, some officers are calling in sick, others have resigned. Elsewhere, they've simply not responded, even to frantic 9/11 calls. And in Seattle's occupied Capitol Hill organized protest, police have been ordered only to enter when there are, quote, significant life safety issues, unquote. Otherwise, if you're in that zone, you're on your own. The reality is that the uniformed law enforcement professionals who put their lives on the line for us every day, the overwhelming majority of whom are highly competent and dedicated public servants, may be reaching the point where they simply won't do it anymore. Don't defund those police. Defend them. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, Sandy Rios back with you. We're going to go to the phones. Just one second, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is an email, a Facebook post from Terry. She said, on June 16th at about 9 minutes and 48 to 50 seconds, I was completely appalled by what you said. When you talked about the New York Police Department disbanding undercover cops and then said that women are going to be raped, people will be murdered and terrorized, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. This is the same ranting and raving that went on during the Jim Crow days and earlier at the end of slavery, how white people were up in arms and afraid of black people. Remarks the KKK and any racist group would make, and on, she goes, Terry, for heaven's sake, You actually think that when I said that, I just meant black men? That there, police are taken off the streets. And I said, now there will be murders. There will be rapes. There will be robberies. It will be horrendous. And you think I mean black men. Isn't that funny? I mean, that's kind of like racist on your part. Because I kind of, last time I looked, I think white men kill people too. And I think Hispanic men, which who are counted as whites in this country, are, you know, killing people too. And I actually think they might be guilty of rape. So come on, Terry. Think, for heaven's sake. What is it about you that made you think that that would just refer to black men? That's just just a point to be made. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Kathy in North Carolina. Good morning, Kathy. You have a tip for us, right?
Yes. I'd just like to say that when America News, which I like a lot better than Fox, they have a commentator on there whose name is Liz Wheeler. And she done a whole cover story on Black Lives Matter and everything that you said, she said. And she backed up that they're just a leftist propagandist group with Marxist ties. And so the left press come against her and has totally, you know, come out with some horrible things about her reporting, which was true. And also Chanel Rion works at the White House Press Corps. And the leftist press corps got her kicked off the floor. And
yes, that's
so
right.
Has to stand at the yes.
Yeah, she had. Yeah, they right. They wouldn't in the press briefings. They wouldn't let her in because One American News is under attack right now for the very reasons you say, Kathy. Thanks, I appreciate that heads up. Let me just say that yeah, Kathy's right about that, and I actually have to change my listening habits. You know, when Fox first started, I was on the air in Chicago, and they were not in Chicago market. When I would visit my parents in southern Illinois, they got Fox. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Bill O'Reilly was the first conservative, you know, anchor I'd ever heard. And he was a lot more conservative then, by the way, than he actually ended up being. Well, actually, I think at the end, he got pretty conservative. That's what got him in trouble. But it was just amazing. So when I got on radio in Chicago, I used to preach, got to get Fox, call your cable companies. And they finally did. And then, of course, eventually I went to work for Fox for about 7 years. My natural bent is Fox. But I agree, One American News is a new place to go. And Liz Wheeler used to be with Fox, by the way. But please don't abandon people like Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson and Martha McCallum. And there are others, too. I'm flipping off the top of my head. But be selective and be smart, just like we talked about earlier, in terms of where you get your information, not trusting necessarily evangelicals. And labels don't seem to mean anything anymore, so be careful. All right, let's go to... let's go to Diana in Tennessee. Good morning, Diana.
Hello, Sandy. I'd like you to know I have American Indian in my family. And, you know, Black Lives Matter, yes, but don't Red Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, White Lives Matter? The voice of the American Indian, who is speaking up for them? Who's speaking up for the unborn baby? Hun? And the thing about it, we all bleed red. We all bleed red, all right? But the thing about it, you know, they're calling for reparation for blacks, okay? Where's the reparation for the American Indian? I don't have my hand stuck out looking for a handout. I'm 70 years old and still working. You know, we all lives matter. I don't see where they're coming up with just black lives matter.
Well, okay, well, let me interrupt you, Diana, because I don't know if you listened yesterday, but if you didn't, you should go back and listen to the podcast because Stella Morabito talks about Marxist movements and the control of language and the use of repetitive phrases. It really has nothing to do with the substance itself. They will pick something, for instance, like the whole slogan of Black Lives Matter. Who could deny that Black Lives Matter? You can't deny that. But they use that then as kind of a litmus test. And anyone who does not embrace that narrow view of the world, it's more about power, their power over you, than it is about the actual substance. So if you don't bow the knee to what they want you to say, and it could be even meaningless, you will be punished. This is intimidation tactics. This is a way to control a population. It really doesn't have anything. You're trying to think logically, and they are too, but they've got a very different thing in mind than you have. You're talking about truth, what makes sense. They're not talking about that. They want to dominate and control this country, and they're making great progress at doing that. Please, by the way, we'll put that article of Stella's back on our Facebook page today, because I really, please, each and every one of you, I commission you to read that and share it. It'll help you understand what's going on in our country and how it has nothing to do with what it seems to have something to do with. It's Stella called it a mass delusion, and that's exactly what it is. And actually, when you look at your television screen and you see all these things, you have the delusion that everyone feels the way the anchors, the news, the people on the streets are saying, people writing. Not everyone feels that way. That is a mass delusion. And so don't be fooled. And I really highly recommend Stella's article. Diana, thank you. Let's go to Shirley in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a little
my pleasure.
Hard, so forgive my voice.
That's all right.
I just have a quick question. Is there any way for the people to block the 12 buses in Tampa? And number two, a quick comment. And that is that we have really descended into the New World Order, it seems. It seems to me like the White Horse seal has been broken. Wars everywhere, and it seems that it's getting worse. So my hope is in Christ. I invite all people to believe that all lives matter, to also join me in letting their hope be in Christ and preparing ourselves for the persecution that's coming. Because we see that it's coming, and I'm surprised, very surprised, that more churches aren't banding together to put money together, resources together to help when their members are fired off the job because they believe that Christ matters and godliness matters. I'm very surprised. So I'm praying for our churches to wake up, that Jesus did say with the 10 virgins that they all slept. Even though five were foolish and didn't really have the Holy Ghost, but they all slept. And in the end time, it just seems like the churches that really are real churches are sleeping. They need to wake up, pull their resources so that they can help their church members, Sandy. We love you and we're listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. God bless you. Shirley's talking about a prophecy in the New Testament for some of you who aren't familiar, and she's talking about prophecies of what's going to happen at the end of time, as the Bible would refer to it. There are signs and things that are going to happen. We are, biblically, those that are Christians, are to know about those things, but we can never be certain what's exactly what. It's metaphorical. And so, but she's right. We had to read the signs. We have to know about them and watch for them. And in regard to the church, I can just see, this is probably one of the most disheartening things in the world to me, how the churches have, and this is not true of all of them, but how they have absented themselves from culture. They have taken the safe route, and they've actually been coached, I would say in the Southern Baptist Convention, to move away from those icky moral issues that have, you know, labeled us in a way that, according to the narrative, we can't reach people for Christ because they think we're political. So that abortion is like become icky, and you know we can't really, you know, don't, you know, and so has gay marriage or anything regarding the gay community, because the narrative goes we've been so cruel to gay people, we've made them unwelcome and we pushed them away. So now the interesting thing about in that vacuum has come social justice, has come, you know, apologies for whiteness. It's amazing. You know, so they've substituted the left's view of God's justice for real justice, and they've chastised and marginalized Christians that have really put their lives on the line for the really hard issues. I think pastors don't want to do hard things. They're afraid it'll affect the offering, the building of their new buildings, and that's cruel and harsh. And they don't want to rock the boat because they, you know, it's everybody has to be nice. You know, I've talked to you about nice. Haven't we talked about nice? That God has not called us to be nice. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. There are times when we have to fight. And surely you ask me about those busloads of people. See, that's Tulsa, by the way, not Tampa. It's Tulsa. And it's going to be Saturday night. And when the protesters are going to descend on that arena across the street from the arena where the president's going to be, I think, first of all, we need to pray. We need to be smart. And one thing that I really think is that we need to stop being so passive. There are proactive things that could be done. I was thinking about how the Israelis used to operate in current times under the Mossad. just the way they were so smart and clever about the way they would do things. We could do that. We're supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Why are we just, oh, I can't do anything. Oh, it's just the way it is. No, that's not true. There are things we could do. For instance, the police or someone could do a drug sniffing dog outside those buses. You think there'll be any drugs on those buses? Just saying. You think there would be maybe cocaine or maybe a little marijuana or something? You think a dog might could sniff that out and maybe they could stop the buses and, you know, search every person on those buses? That might be something that would slow the process down. I would do that in a heartbeat. It would be legal and it would be something that could be done. So I'm just saying there are things that can be done. So I'm saying stop being so passive and worried, all of you. And think about things that you can do on the offense. And I'm not talking about, you know, shooting people. That's what I'll be accused of. I'm not talking about that, unless it's self-defense. Yeah, then I would do that. But I'm talking about there are clever ways to deal with things. We are not helpless. And with God's help, you know, he's like smart. Our God is like smart. And he wants his people to be like smart and clever and wise as serpents. So let's do that, all right? Let's go to... let's go to John in Florida. Good morning, John.
Yes. Thank you very much for allowing me an opportunity to speak. But what I keep hearing through the media and every source is that somehow this is new, that somehow Black Lives Matters and this ideology is something that is a changing time. But it's not a changing time at all. We've been dealing with the battle between Cain and Abel throughout human history. And recently, it is in the form of communism and democracy, atheism and theism. And this isn't new. This is just a more deceptive introduction. A more sophisticated satanic ideology. It's not new.
Yes, absolutely, John. I have to, yes, you're absolutely right. Remember that Satan is the prince of this world, and above all, this is a spiritual battle. And interestingly enough, I think you would agree, John, that this is a very revealing time for all of us. It's a time where it's a lot of soul searching. It's exposing a lot of things, good and bad. And so it's time. I am not embracing as maybe where Shirley is yet. I think that in the sense that I don't necessarily think this is the end of times. I think that remember there will be birth pangs before the end comes, and birth pangs are very much like those final pains when you deliver the baby. Speaking as one who knows, but there are signs and there are things that we look at. These are signs, and they are, yes, very much like what we saw, the whole struggle since the beginning of time with Adam and Eve in the garden, the deception. There's so many similarities. And so, yes, John, it's been a long time battle. This is just the manifestation. We are seeing evil a lot more bold, and we do know that that will happen as the end comes. We'll know there'll be a strong spirit of delusion, and we surely see delusion on our people. We see that the spirit, the lawlessness, the spirit of disobedience and lawlessness at work in our streets. These are signs. These are signs. But the end is not yet. And so it's going to get a lot worse. If it's the end, it's going to feel a lot more. Right now, this is all pretty much mental, and we're preparing. Are we not? Spiritually on our knees before God and then acting. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.